You've heard it said many times, Madison County, Illinois is a judicial hellhole. The plaintiff's lawyers from all over the country love to come to Madison County, Illinois, and file lawsuits, particularly class action suits against big corporations, because they're almost guaranteed to get juries that are going to hand them huge, huge amounts of money. Stephanie Mensimer is a journalist who's written a book about cases like that and the tort reform movement in this country by people who don't like hearing stories like that and want to do something about it. Her book is called Blocking the Courthouse Door. In this book, she says that the tort reformers are liars. Is that what you're saying, Stephanie?
Well, that's, I guess, putting it bluntly, but I think they exaggerate their case a little bit, that lawsuits are not the major force in America that they seem to think they are.
Because, you know, the public has a perception that there are too many frivolous lawsuits in this country. Are there?
No, I don't think so. There's a lot of news about a few frivolous lawsuits, and, you know, we have a very democratic legal system here, so it's true that pretty much anybody can walk into a courthouse and file a lawsuit, but that's, you know, only the beginning. It takes... the system weeds out frivolous lawsuits pretty well, by and large. And you know, you may hear about some of these cases. One of my favorites is there was a case where a guy sued, I think it was NBC, because he claimed that watching Fear Factor made him sick, and he fell down and hit his head on the door and required stitches or something like that.
Yeah.
And of course, he wrote that complaint in hand. You know, he scribbled out his legal complaint on a piece of paper and took it to the courthouse and filed it and made a bunch of news. And it was thrown out almost immediately. So that's a frivolous lawsuit, but it didn't harm anybody. You know, there, I don't think NBC even had to respond to it. So you hear a lot of things like that. And I think if you ever ask anybody who's filed a lawsuit, no one ever thinks that the lawsuit that they filed was frivolous.
No, that's right. The plaintiff never thinks it's a frivolous lawsuit.
Right.
Only the defendant thinks it is.
Right.
Now, you've got several quotes on the back of your book, and one of them is from Jan Schlichtman. This is praise for your book. Jan Schlichtman was the plaintiff's lawyer in the case that many people might know from the John Travolta movie, A Civil Action,
right,
in which he played Jan Schlichtman. And everybody, of course, knows the Aaron Brockovich story. Both of those are stories of David versus Goliath. We're going up against somebody who's polluted our town and kids have gotten cancer or whatever it is. And we're just the small guys and we're going up against the corporations with their hundreds of lawyers. Are there a lot of cases like that?
There are a fair number of them, I think, yes. I mean, the courts are one of the few level playing grounds in this country where people who don't have a lot of money and a lot of resources can actually attempt to get justice. It's much different than trying to, say, lobby a legislative body to get legislation passed, which can cost lots and lots of money. You have to lobby, you know, hundreds of people and give all kinds of campaign contributions. In the legal system, there's a fighting chance, at least sometimes, that some of these cases will go forward.
Yeah, but you've got to find an Aaron Brockovich or a Jan Schlichtman or somebody who's going to do it cheap.
Right.
Or on a contingency, right?
Yes.
And then you have to have them willing to take the time and spend their own money and willing to fight your fight.
Right.
But what I'm asking is, are those the few and far between, or are there a lot of those? Because if there are a lot of those, I think that's a great argument for the legal system the way it is.
Well, we're a country of 300 million people, so I'm not sure what, you know, no one ever quantifies what a lot is. So in a country of 300 million people, they're probably, let's see. I can tell you in the federal courts, there are something like 800 jury trials in civil cases last year. So that's just to give you a rough estimate of what the numbers look like. So there's not a lot, but there are enough of them, and some of those cases are significant, like the class action lawsuits can involve thousands of plaintiffs. So I'm not sure. I don't have a good answer to.
All right. Well, let's talk about class action lawsuits for just a moment here, because I've told this story on the air a couple of times, but I'll tell it again. About 15 years ago, I got a package in the mail. I don't know who it was from. It had some law firm's return address on it, and apparently I had won an award for being part of a class action against U.S. Airways. I had never filled out any forms. I didn't know anything about I didn't even know this lawsuit had been filed or that it had been settled or anything. And I get this in the mail, and congratulations, because you had flown once on U.S. Airways, you're eligible for this reward. And the reward was essentially $10 off coupons for the next flight I booked on U.S. Airways. In other words, I got virtually nothing. Now, people across America can relate to this because we all get these things in the mail every once in a while. I think everybody who ever subscribed to AOL probably at some point got a thing where you could get $2 off your AOL subscription. It's always something really, really tiny, and millions of people get that. So in the aggregate, it's $1 million or $5 million or $30 million or $100 million settlement. But in the end, we the consumer get nothing, and yet we have lawyers who have filed this, and I'm sure they've worked very hard on it. They get a really big chunk of change. That is another thing, I think, in the public perception that seems unfair about the tort system in this country. Am I wrong?
I think so, because the public does actually get something in these cases. I mean, first of all, you have to figure out that US Air or AOL, whoever it was, that defrauded millions of customers, or, you know, that's generally what happens in these big class actions where there's a settlement. They are ripping people off a dollar at a time. But, in a country of 300 million people, that can add up to a lot of money. Like cell phone bill charges are a classic example. You know, there's $2 here and $4 there that you really don't notice, and it doesn't affect you financially in a huge way. But the question for the public policy here is, do you really want those companies to be able to rip off people, you know, what adds up to hundreds of millions of dollars every year? And one of the few ways that we have to address that is the class action mechanism, which allows lots of people to aggregate their claims. You know, your $10 and, you know, my neighbor's $10 and millions of people's $10 starts to add up to a lot of money. And so you may not get a lot of cash in your pocket, but we hope, anyway, that these sorts of actions deter companies from that kind of systemic fraud, force them to give back some of the ill-gotten profits, and deter other companies from trying to do the same thing.
Well, you can understand how, as the little guy, I got the little check.
Yes.
And I feel like I got nothing out of this.
Yes.
And I don't know that it necessarily stopped that company from doing something that they weren't going to stop doing anyway as soon as it got the light of public attention.
It probably did. I mean, for one thing, it got public attention. If it weren't for the lawsuit, nobody would even know about this.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, at least then as a consumer, you can say, well, maybe I'll use a different airline, or I'm going to get a different cell phone, or that sort of thing. Because a lot of consumer protection requires, transparency and public information and giving people choices. And, you know, they want to know who the bad actors are. So lawsuits are very good at bringing to light the practices of private companies.
Stephanie, what about those giant medical malpractice suits that we hear so much about? I mentioned at the beginning Madison County, Illinois, which has become famous for some of those. And we always hear from people both on the insurance side and on the medicine side that premiums are skyrocketing, and it's because of those lawsuits. Is that true?
No, I don't think so. There's been a fair number of studies that show very little relationship between the lawsuits and the actual premiums that doctors pay. Malpractice insurance premiums are sort of complicated, but I'm going to go back to your other point about Madison County. I've looked at the data in Madison County, and there actually haven't been that many big malpractice verdicts there.
In fact, I think there have only been seven that have been over $250,000 in the last decade.
Yeah, and if you figure out, being a malpractice victim is expensive. I mean, everyone who's, been in the hospital for a day or two can see how quickly medical bills mount. So if you're injured by your doctor or hospital, your own personal medical bills can skyrocket. I mean, it's not impossible to run up millions of dollars, from healthcare costs. So when people file malpractice lawsuits, they're trying to recoup that money. And so if they're big, it's because people have real losses.
But what about those claims that there are lawsuits there that are not necessarily going to verdict, that are being settled out of court, and that those are costing the insurance companies a lot of money, and therefore they are turning that around and charging the doctors more money, and therefore our health costs as consumers are going up as well?
Well, there have been several studies about how much lawsuits contribute to healthcare spending, and it's like 0.001%. It's a very small fraction of national healthcare spending. And if those lawsuits are being settled and not going to trial, it's often because, a good number of them settle in favor of the doctors. Also, at trial, doctors generally win medical malpractice cases for complicated reasons. But the other cases that are being settled, it's often because the malpractice was pretty clear cut, and people actually were malpractice on. The doctor made an error, the hospital made an error, and a lot of these cases, when you read them, they are really awful. I mean, after spending 2 years studying malpractice lawsuits, I never want to go to a hospital ever. I mean, something like 200,000 people a year die from preventable medical errors,
yeah.
And a lot of them end up in these malpractice lawsuits. And there are people who've got the wrong leg amputated, who, there's that poor woman who had both of her breasts removed when she didn't really have breast cancer, people who had all sorts of cancer that was never diagnosed, even though they had millions of symptoms and, they couldn't get a referral by their insurance company, and, people who take their children in and they're misdiagnosed in the emergency room and end up brain damaged because they had some horrible problem and all that stuff. It's sad and it's complicated, and I don't think that very many people sue their doctors because they just think they're going to win a bunch of money. I guess that's the point of it.
Well, that brings me directly to the next thing I wanted to ask you about. As we move through some of these things that have been issues when it comes to tort reform in this country, another one is we should go to a system where the loser pays. This is another big one. They say if you did that, then a lot fewer lawsuits would be filed because people would be afraid that they'd have to pick up the court costs and the legal fees for the other side.
They actually tried this in Florida about 10 years ago. Doctors in Florida pressed to have loser pays implemented in medical malpractice cases, and it wasn't very long after that they begged the state legislature to overturn it.
Why?
It turned out the doctors were paying. The doctors were losing, and then they were also not only paying the verdicts in these cases, but they were paying the other side's legal bills. And so, that's a double-edged sword. And there are a lot of cases, especially medical malpractice, that don't go forward today because it's too expensive to bring these cases. And there is some thinking that if we had a loser pay system in medical malpractice, that a lot of the smaller injuries would start to go forward in court because people have legitimate injuries, but their damages, their losses were only maybe, they're the kinds of things where they were injured and they survived, and they had $100,000 in medical bills. But $100,000 is not enough anymore to bring a medical malpractice case because it costs so much to try these things. But if you thought you could win your medical, your legal bills along with your case, you'd probably go forward on a $100,000 malpractice case. And that just doesn't happen now. So it's conceivable that losers pays could actually increase the amount of litigation, at least in that area. I don't know, for other stuff like car crashes, it's unclear. But at least in medical malpractice, I think losers pays doesn't work the way a lot of people think it would.
Very interesting. I want to include a couple of phone calls here, Stephanie, 314-436-7900 and toll-free 800-925-1120. Bill, you're on KMOX. Hi.
Hi, how do you do?
Good, thanks.
I think Stephanie needs to understand that I'm a physician myself. I don't think there's a doctor around that doesn't buy malpractice insurance to protect his patients from mistakes that he might make. That's what malpractice is for, and that's why we buy it. However, when we buy malpractice insurance and the patient doesn't do what he's told to do and then can come back and sue us and win $8.6 million in court, we have a problem.
Has that happened to you, Bill?
Yes, it has.
It happened
last week.
It happened
in St. Clair County.
You lost an $8.6 million lawsuit last week?
That's correct.
My company did. And how did you lose that if it was the patient's fault?
Well, here's what happened. The patient came into an emergency room, saw an independent contractor of my company for a car accident. During the workup of the car accident, it's found that he has high blood pressure. He's told that he has high blood pressure. He's told to go see a doctor in 3 to 5 days and have his blood pressure checked again. The man doesn't see a doctor for 2.5 years. When he finally does, he has kidney disease that's so bad that he has to go on dialysis. It is now the doctor's fault that the doctor in the emergency room did not tell him that he would get kidney disease if he didn't take care of his high blood pressure. Therefore, the doctor is liable. Now, is that twisted, perverted justice? Or is that the way it is nowadays?
Stephanie, you want to comment on this?
Well, it's always hard to comment on individual lawsuits like that without knowing the other side. And, you know, I tend to defer to juries. If this was a jury trial and the jury thought that's what happened, I suspect there might have been more going on there than we're hearing about. But also, it's unlikely that the plaintiff will see $8 million. I mean, how big is your insurance policy? Because it's pretty common that doctors won't carry more than $1 million in insurance, and so plaintiffs generally can't get any more. They don't go after doctors' personal assets usually. So those verdicts, if you know, they're limited in a variety of ways, either because the insurance policy just isn't big enough, or the judge will review the case and decide that the verdict is excessive. They can reduce it. There are any number of things that will, you know, there's still many hurdles probably for that verdict before the plaintiff sees any of the money.
Bill, tell me what the economic impact of that verdict will be on you, your practice, and your patients.
It will be horrible. First of all, our insurance company will look at that $8 million verdict, and both the company and the doctor each had $2 million in limits. So, first of all, there's $4 million that is up for grabs here. The other $4 million, the doctor could get a judgment on him. My company could get a judgment on him. But more importantly, we have to go out and we have to buy malpractice again next year. The insurance company is going to look at this and they're going to say, gee whiz, we don't have any justice in St. Clair County. We can't take a suit that has very little merit and go into court with it and prove it because we can't trust a St. Clair County jury. We just can't trust them. So we're going to have to settle out of court for whatever amounts of money the plaintiff's attorneys come up with. We don't have a court system here that we can trust. That's what the problem is. And the problem is, don't you think that scares other insurance agencies from coming in and insuring doctors?
And we have heard stories of insurance companies in Illinois that have told doctors, you know, we're not going to cover you, we're not going to give you policies. We also have heard, however, that the insurance industry in Illinois is so wildly unregulated and that the state hasn't been doing its job in keeping an eye on that, that that's also a factor there. I'm glad you shared your story, Bill. Thank you very much for calling. Stephanie, you know, you hear from doctors like Bill and others, and I also often hear from business people, particularly those in retail, who are worried about what I guess is commonly called the slip and fall lawsuit. Somebody came into their store, there was a box on the floor, they didn't see it, they slipped over it, they fell down, they broke their hip, and now they file a big lawsuit against the store. Do business people in this country, are they worried for a good reason about these lawsuits?
Well, if you look at surveys of small business owners, actually, lawsuits fall way down on the list of their concerns. I mean, they're much more worried about their own health insurance costs, which are a far bigger factor, I think, in small business operations these days. And, you know, if they're asked the question the right way, then they'll talk about how much afraid they are of these lawsuits. But, I mean, this is what insurance is for, because if there are accidents in their stores, they're protected by having insurance. I mean, they complain about how much it costs to have that insurance, but everybody complains about how much insurance costs for your car, for your house, for health insurance. So, I guess I'm sort of biased on this because I think that most of those suits don't ever amount to very much money. You know, they're like $5,000 or less, and most of these little stores have insurance to cover that. And that's kind of the American system. If we had a better, you know, if we had a health care system that covered people's medical costs when they fell down and, you know, you didn't have to worry that you were going to go bankrupt because you hurt yourself and then couldn't go to work for 6 weeks, then we might have a very different legal system, but we don't.
All right.
This is what we have to work with the system that we have.
Since you brought up health care, let me bring in Joe, who's got a health care question for you. Joe, you're on KMOX. Say hi to Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. Thank you for your worthwhile journalistic efforts. As a person who considers himself kind of liberal, I talk about health care and point to places like Canada and Sweden and how much more efficient it is. And I've had conservatives answer me, hey, take a look at Sweden. They have very severe caps on how much you can sue and get in under their health care plan, which is, you know, government operated. Can you tell me anything about the difference between dealing with corporations when you sue them and dealing with government when you sue them?
Well, let's see. That's a complicated question. I mean, in other countries, like I was saying, if you're guaranteed the right to health care in other countries like Sweden and France, they generally don't have a legal system like the American system, and that you there's just not so much money that has to change hands through the legal system, because people don't have to recover their medical costs through court the way you do here. Obviously, there are bigger dollar amounts in suing corporations. There are limits. The government is largely protected from lawsuits, or at least great big verdicts, because there are certain protections that we give people for doing public service and that sort of thing.
But what about the notion of caps on damages? There's been a big effort in the last decade in this country at both the federal and state and even at the local level to put caps on damages, I think mostly pushed by the people who are on the side of tort reform. And have they been effective in cutting down on lawsuits or verdicts?
I think so. I mean, it's kind of a mixed bag. They've definitely been effective in getting rid of some sorts of lawsuits, like in Texas, where they put a $250,000 cap on non-economic damages. Nursing home litigation has almost disappeared because elderly people, because they don't have jobs, they don't have wages and things like that to recover in court. When they've been malpracticed on, or they've been injured, or they've been killed in nursing homes, in Texas, now they have virtually no recourse to go to court, because $250,000 isn't enough to cover the cost of bringing the case. If you won the whole thing, if you won $250,000, almost all of that would have to go back into your legal costs to going to court. So all the lawyers who used to do nursing home litigation in Texas have disappeared. So
all right,
those lawsuits have gone.
Joe, thank you for your question. Paul, I've got 1 minute, and I'm going to leave you with the last question this afternoon for Stephanie.
Myself here?
If you're Paul.
I'm Paul. Okay. She speaks of insurance is there to be used. I'm an insurance agent, and I'd have to disagree with that, that insurance is there if there is a sudden and accidental loss.
Stephanie?
Well, the kinds of insurance we're talking about, liability insurance, it's there to protect the business from the types of lawsuits that we're talking about, when people slip and fall in the store, and if the business is actually liable. And I think I'm not an expert on insurance, but my understanding is that these policies tend to also cover the cost of defending the company as well, so they won't go broke from just defending themselves from lawsuits that they would prevail in.
All right, Paul, I'm glad you called. Stephanie's book is called Blocking the Courthouse Door. We don't have time to get into it, but she does have a real in-depth look at one of the most famous big lawsuits in America, and that, of course, is the Stella Liebeck McDonald's hot coffee on the thighs lawsuit. The bottom line there is people always hear about it being a multi-million-dollar deal. What was the final number, Stephanie?
The final number was never disclosed. There was a confidential settlement, but if I recall, it was people think, anyway, that it was about maybe $400,000, and a lot of that had to go to the legal costs.
Not $8.3 million, which she was originally given.
Well, I think she was originally awarded $2.3 million.
Oh, it was $2.3?
Punitive damages, yeah. It was not that big. It was $3 million total, and some of that was actual damages, but there was a $2 million-something punitive damage award that the jury hit McDonald's with, because McDonald's knew that they had been burning people for a long time with the coffee. So they tried to punish them and hopefully change the behavior of the corporation.
It's a very interesting case, and you've got a lot on it that a lot of people don't know, as you have with many other things in this book. And I appreciate your coming on and taking all the questions this afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Stephanie Mensimer's book is Blocking the Courthouse Door. This is the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.